check this out.
Yo, microphone check, 1, 2, what is this? The 5 foot.
He swings and drives it. Left center field, he knows it. The bat left. He's going to round the bases to celebrate. Keon Broxton is your Brew Anniversary Team Home Run Derby winner. Team Gomez waiting for him at the plate. And they did the bomb celebration like Prince Fielder back in the day. What a perfect cap off to this one.
Drink a lot of soda, so they call me Dr. Pepper. Refuse to compete with BS competition. Your name is special, so won't you suckle with the mission? I never walk the street, think it's all about me. Even though deep in my heart, it really could be. I just try my best to like go all out. Some might even say, yo, shorty black, you're bugging out.
Zulu Nation, mother's last creation. Minds get flooded. Ejaculation right on the 2-inch tape.
The abstract poet incognito, see I run the cape. Not the best, not the worst, but occasionally I curse to get my
hey. This is the Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN. Pablo Iglesias, Adam Mertz here. We are trying to get Dom Catronio on from the Brewers Radio Network here in just a moment. We talked about the sizzling team. We talked about yesterday, even after a 5-1 loss, fans still sticking around. Of course, you want to see the Brewers of yesteryear. And enjoy that moment. It was cool to get to see everybody just, you know, go yabo. And I think who was it that walked off too yesterday? I can't remember who it was.
Keon Broxton.
And then that was an awesome walk-off celebration. But looks like we are ready to go. Mr. Dom Catronio, the Brewers Radio Network, is joining us. He was calling the action over on the extra social media platforms. You can check that out on our sister station at WTMJ. Dom, good morning. I know you're coming off the golf course. What an electric night it was yesterday, even after the Brewers lost, to be around that home run derby, man. What was that whole atmosphere like?
Yeah, I think for me, I was just grateful to not have to talk about a 5-1 loss after the way that how sloppy they played and how what a kind of a cruddy game it was. But yeah, there was electricity, man. Nobody left. Like, that was the coolest part, because sold out crowd, you know, there was energy in the building all day long. All the guys are signing autographs, being guest bartenders, coming up to the broadcast booth, and J.J. Watt throws out the first pitch. Like, it's just like the list goes on of all the stuff. Nate Bargatze was there. Like, it's just, you know, the list was really fun. And then, of course, you know, you lose the game. But to just kind of shake it off instantly and have that sort of ending with Keon Broxton and Corey Hart. I had Corey Hart on my program yesterday, and he was just like, look, I don't know where this came from. Like, this is fun. I just swung hard and hoped I hit it, and everything worked out.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you talk about it, too. Just shake it off and move on to the next day. I mean, it feels like this team, especially coming to the second half, the way that the month and a half has gone, too, they are hot. They are sizzling. It feels like a different crew. I mean, what are your expectations? How high of hopes do you have? We know it's late July, but it's never too early to start talking about October.
Yeah, I mean, that's already scoreboard watching season for me. I mean, shout out to the White Sox yesterday helping the Brewers out, beating up on the Cubs. So for my perspective is, I think we can confidently say, I mean, this is a playoff team. And quite frankly, in May, I think everybody would have been shocked to say that, given they've got the best record in the National League since May 18th, which was the start of that week against Baltimore and Pittsburgh. And then started that 8-game winning streak on the end of that against the Red Sox, Pirates, and then the Phillies, and that sweep, that was huge too. So the fact that the Brewers have multiple 8-game winning streaks, some people would say, oh, that's too hot, you're peaking too soon. But to me, it's sort of like, hey, they're capable of doing it, and they're doing it against quality opponents. Obviously, the Dodgers catching them when you catch them, but doing it against the Phillies and doing it against what the Red Sox are doing now and doing it against teams that are going to be in the fold, because this team is still, I think it's 32-23 against teams above 500. That's the best record in baseball against teams above 500. So the expectations are, yeah, this should be the team that performs well in October.
You know, Don, this team strikes me, the way that they approach the game, they have this, they've adopted this perfect strategy for the pitch clock era of keeping that pressure on and always the heat. And it was interesting against Seattle about how they were just able to stack hits, and there's nowhere to escape for a pitcher when you're in that situation. You can't be walking off the mound. You can't be kind of pulling the infield in. It's just a different ball game, and they seem to have maximized the rules that way.
Yeah, I think with the Brewers, as Pat Murphy said it the other day with the New York Post, he was talking to Joel Sherman and John Heyman over there on their podcast, like, there's no secret sauce. Like, you play quality baseball, you're going to win a lot of games. And I was talking to some folks last year when the Rangers were in town, when the Brewers swept the Rangers, and they were, you know, conspiracy theorists over there, like, how did you guys know the pitch clock was coming and the stolen base rules were changing? Like, everybody can steal a bag on your team. Everybody runs the base as well. I think the Brewers' formula, let's also be clear, home runs are still sexy. I'm never going to turn down home runs. And quite frankly, there are a few guys on this team that should be hitting more home runs. But yet, when you don't have the homers, you got to do something else exceptional. And what the Brewers do exceptional is they put the ball in play and they run the base as well. And you add up those two things, if you're not going to hit home runs, you can manufacture first to thirds. You can manufacture sac flies. You can manufacture, you know, a base hit scores two, that sort of thing. So I think the Brewers' formula is pretty simple offensively. That being said, hey, I would like to make a call to Eugenio Suarez. I still would really like to see him fit in on this team.
You see, we were talking about that, too. You got to take a big swing. It feels like there's just something different about this season. Dominic Catronio joining us here, host of the Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Also, you can hear him throughout our coverage here on Madison's home of the Milwaukee Brewers baseball. Dom, the trade deadline is here around the corner. Of course, Eugenio Suarez is the big name. One, what do the Brewers need to do to take that swing at him? And two, if they don't go after Eugenio, hopefully he doesn't land with the Cubs, which I'm sure nobody wants to see, like, especially with how tight of a race this is. Who are some guys that, if it's not Eugenio, who's on your wish list for the Brewers? Because it feels like you got to make a move. You got to rejuvenate this clubhouse, like you've said on a couple of our other shows. A good trade really helps a ball club like this.
It does. And I think I talked about this on my Brewers Weekly on Thursday night. I had Jeff Passan on the program too. And the thought is, hey, if you don't get Gino, it's not the end of the world because the team is playing well. I do think they need bullpen help because we just learned Nick Mears had his back lock up yesterday during his outing, and that explains why a guy that came in with three walks on the season walked two guys in the same inning. So get to monitor that. Got to monitor Jared Koenig. He has not pitched well against righties at all this season. So you need a little bit of help in that bridge of the bullpen before you get to Uribe and before you get to McGill to kind of lighten the load on those two guys. So I think they're definitely going to make some sort of bullpen move. But on the offensive front, it's Gino or bust. I don't think there's anybody out there that you would spend prospect capital on that isn't, you know, to the caliber of Gino. I mean, Ryan O'Hearn's a fine player. But if Andrew Vaughn keeps this up and if, you know, Rhys Hoskins comes back to the roster healthy, it's like there's no room for Ryan O'Hearn. And then you may say, oh, Luis Robert. Okay, there's still a lot of concerns with injury history, motor, that sort of thing. He is playing better as of late. Granted, now he's dealing with a groin. So that's a little bit of a – these rentals aren't the sexiest in the world. So in my opinion, the Cubs should be going after starting pitching, not more offense. They already have the best offense in the National League. If they try to overwhelm you with Gino, it's like, okay, every playoff game is going to be like a 10-9 stressful game. So they should be focusing their assets – on pitching because they have none right now. Shota got beat up yesterday. The Brewers, it makes sense. Gino or bust, he makes this offense so much more powerful and so much more dynamic. It eases the pressure on William, who's only got six homers this year. There's just not a lot of right-handed power on this team, especially in Reese's absence right now. So for me, it's Gino is the only guy I really need to get.
The name, intriguing name that I heard on the pitching side was Pete Fairbanks, depending on what the Rays do here down the stretch. Do you consider that a possibility?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm personally friends with Pete Fairbanks. I've known him for a very long time.
Flex.
Back in the Rangers days. So I texted him the other day and it was just like, hey, man, hopefully I see you later this year because actually I'm covering a game. I'm covering a Yankees-Rays game on Tuesday. So that would be a whole lot of fun to see him. But for the Rays, they're never the team that's going to make a splash. But you know, they're so savvy with, hey, trading controllable assets and that sort of thing. He would technically be a rental. There are team options in the last 2 years of his deal. And he's suddenly not going to be the closer on this team because Trevor McGill's got that lockdown. Perhaps that could work out for Pete Fairbanks. I wonder if they would do an in-division trade with, say, a Dennis Santana over with the Pirates. I think he's had a very underrated season, one of the best non-closer seasons we've seen this year. I'm also kind of a fan of Sir Anthony Dominguez with the Orioles right now. He walks a lot of guys, but he strikes out a lot of guys too. So they are going to be ringing the phone on bullpen help because, as we learned in the first half of the year, Yoho isn't quite ready yet. Hudson has really regressed this year. A tough thing to see. And when Rob Sestrucci gets back healthy, that's helpful, but you need somebody that can for sure get righties out.
Words are just hard right now. Tom Catronio joining us here as we start to wrap
this up. A lot of vowels, a lot of consonants. There's a lot going on there. It's all good.
It's a smooth name, though, man.
It is.
I got to say, yeah, Tom Catronio joining us here. Just a couple more questions before we let you go. Brewers just, you know, hopefully ready to really turn the corner. What is it about this team that excites you the most? We've seen a few different playoff teams go through it, but I don't know. Like it just feels like. This is a different team. This is a different squad. This is an exciting squad. You know, what is it about this year's team? If I could ask you to pinpoint one thing, what stands out this year compared to the last?
Christian Yelich is healthy. I think that's the most important thing. We all know 18 and 19, and think about it. We haven't had a fully healthy Yelly in the postseason since 2018.
Yep.
Like, when you actually consider that, right? Obviously, the knee in 2019 – 2020 blip on the radar, doesn't count to me. 2021, he was starting to deal with it, didn't make the playoffs in 22, was really dealing with it in 23 more than he let on, obviously surgery last year. So the point being, this is the healthiest Yelly has been in six seasons or so, and he's going to cross over the 20 homer mark for the first time since 2019 here pretty soon. So the fact that he can be your anchor, your everyday three hitter in a postseason lineup and be, yes, that's the Christian Yelich we know and love. That's what makes me excited about this club, because then you get to have these complementary pieces around him. We expect Sal Frelick to get activated today. You can get William going here in these final 2 months of the season. What a great year it's been for Bryce Turan. What a great year it's been for even a guy like Andrew Vaughn revitalizing his career. Caleb Durbin coming out of nowhere. That 1-9, even with Joey swinging the bat better lately, 1-9, there is not a single easy out in there. That's why I think I'm so excited with Yelly anchoring it all.
Just, you know, hey, Dom, when Contreras came over, there was a lot of questions about his ability is on the defensive side of the ball. It seems to me like, if nothing else, he's done a magnificent job handling this staff. What can you say about his progression as a defensive catcher?
It's funny. I was talking about this with Charlie Green last week right before the All-Star break, and talking about some of the public-facing metrics on framing and blocking that we have and how the defense grades William, but then how the team internally grades William. And they're sitting there, it's like, we think he's way better than what the national metrics are showing for him. They are so thrilled with his blocking progressions this year, how much better he's gotten at keeping the ball in front of him. Obviously, he was throwing everybody out in the beginning of the year too, which is super helpful to keep the running game at bay. But I think for William, the biggest thing for him is he is a bulldog and he wants to catch every day. But I think this year, he's understood a little bit more about how important he is on the catching side. Even when he's had a down year with the bat because of the finger and everything that's going on there, he can still impact the game even more so now than he did when maybe he first arrived behind the plate. And calling pitches, him and Freddie have a super synergy right now. I think him and Quintana have been great as well, as he'll be the battery today. I think for William, understanding that, yes, it's been a rough year offensively, but maybe his best year defensively, and that's a big reason why the Brewers are one of the best at holding runners at bay and trying to steal against them this season.
Dom Catronio, once again, part of the Brewers Radio Network. You can hear him here on the home of Brewers baseball in Madison. Dom, thanks again, man. Really appreciate you. Excited to see how the Brewers do. Appreciate your time, man. Hope you hit them straight, too, on the golf course.
Yeah, we shot a 76. It was a good day, boys.
Yes, I love it. All right, Dom Catronio, once again, you can hear him on Brewers Extra Innings. Appreciate his time. So, and that's almost just about the time that we have, too. Brewers baseball is going to be later today, 6:10 first start. We're just trying to get back into the win track. Jose Quintana on the hill, just like Dom said, against Jansen Junk. Just got to get a win. Just got to get a win today.
Absolutely. You know, I was so impressed with them coming off of that 11-game win streak, dropping one to Seattle, and coming back and clobbering the Mariners the next day. That kind of showed me a little bit about the mentality of this team.
Hey, that's all you got to do. It's you just got to respond. That's exactly what Pat's team has been known to do. So we'll see how they do. We'll see how they answer. Maybe they'll get a little bit of that extra motivation from the guys from the Home Run Derby yesterday. But for Adam Mertz and Riley Yauch here at the Everlight Solar Studio, I'm Pablo Iglesias. This has been the Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN.